It's 7:43. I'm Teresa Wills. This is West Virginia Morning. A review of legal records shows that companies owned by West Virginia Governor Jim Justice's family have been ordered by the courts to pay millions of dollars in business debts in recent years. But in some cases, officials trying to recover that money found empty or closed bank accounts. Brittany Patterson and Jeff Young of the Ohio Valley Resource have the story.
Before he was West Virginia's governor, Jim Justice was president and CEO of more than 100 companies. Upon his election, Justice transferred control of many of those companies to his family members, including his son and daughter. Resource reporter Brittany Patterson has been looking into court records of cases in which businesses are suing some of those Justice family companies to recover debts. Brittany, what did you find?
A review of court documents found at least five cases dating back to 2013 where Justice family companies failed to pay suppliers for goods or services. When compelled by a court to pay, the companies either refused or failed to meet an agreed-upon schedule for payment. And these cases run the gamut, from not paying for parts for mining equipment to coal royalties. And the money owed in these cases ranged from just under $150,000 to $3.1 million. And in some of these cases, the courts authorized a U.S. Marshal to seize assets from Justice Company bank accounts, only to find that the accounts are empty or closed.
So walk us through an example from the court documents.
The most recent case involves National Union Fire Insurance Company, which provide workers' compensation and general liability insurance policies for Southern Coal Corp., one of the Justice family companies. And according to court documents, National Union audited Southern Coal's books and found they owed roughly $2.7 million. The coal company issued what's called a promissory note. It laid out what they owed and a payment plan, but the records show the company stopped making payments, defaulting on almost $560,000. And then this July, a judge issued a writ of execution.
A writ of execution. What does that do?
That gave the U.S. Marshal the go-ahead to tap into multiple bank accounts associated with Southern Coal. But over the last few weeks, those accounts have come back closed or empty. And that's also what is happening in another case involving a paper company called WestRock. It also got a writ of execution to recover about $1 million owed by two Justice family companies. But as in with the National Union case, court records show those accounts also came back empty.
So what do Governor Justice and the companies have to say about this?
The governor's spokesperson referred questions about the businesses to the Justice family companies. Ohio Valley Resource repeatedly reached out to the Justice Family Corporation and a lawyer that has represented their business interests. We received no response beyond a no comment from the lawyer.
And where does this leave the companies who are owed the money?
I asked Patrick McGinley about that. McGinley teaches at West Virginia University's College of Law, and he has followed the coal industry for about 40 years.
The justice companies haven't gone bankrupt, but they're not paying their bills, and it's not clear what's going on except that the impact of not paying taxes, not paying suppliers, not reclaiming land, that's serious, and that impacts people throughout the region.
Now, we know that the coal industry recently went through a sharp decline and many coal companies went bankrupt, but the Justice family companies aren't bankrupt. And what these court documents show is a pretty widespread pattern of non-payment.
Brittany Patterson, thank you. Those court documents are on our website, ohiovalleyresource.org. I'm Jeff Young in Louisville.
The Ohio Valley Resource is made possible with support from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and West Virginia Public Broadcasting. Can apples grow on an abandoned mine site? That's the $5 million question the West Virginia National Guard is spending to find out. On the latest episode of Inside Appalachia, Roxy Todd travels to Nicholas County to find out how the apple trees are doing.
$30 million was given to West Virginia in 2016 to invest in economic development projects across the state. The money came from the 2015 omnibus federal spending bill passed by Congress, and there was a catch to this money. Groups would have to build their projects on former abandoned mine land sites. The idea was partly to spur new jobs in coal country, but also to speed up reclamation of mine sites. Some of the funding went to develop industrial parks, and others went to agricultural projects, like this one, managed by the West Virginia National Guard. Sergeant Major Daryl Sears walks me up a hillside. We're in a small community called Muddlety in Nicholas County. Behind an electric fence, rows of young apple trees are growing as far as my eyes can see.
The majority of this AML property up here, you can plant the fruit trees on. Some of it needs a little bit of help in the sign of lime and fertilizer and balance to the pH, but honestly, almost every soil in West Virginia does.
These 3,000 trees are expected to live about 30 years. They aren't producing many apples yet. They're only 2 years old. And they're tiny, a type of dwarf apple tree that will need to be trellised. There are different varieties, but most are a type of apple that was developed in West Virginia, the famous Golden Delicious. Sergeant Sears says they're sweet, and that makes them great not only for eating, but has also attracted a major private investor, a producer of apple juice and apple vinegar.
So we already have a potential partner to develop further, but it hasn't been anything official. If they don't come, somebody else will.
If that type of private investment pans out, this orchard could eventually provide about 400 jobs and $1.5 million in tax revenue for the state, according to an economic impact study done by West Virginia University. Sears and 9 other employees work at this orchard now. By the end of next year, he says they'll have planted 250,000 trees on this site. But not everyone is convinced this plan is the best scenario. Commissioner of the West Virginia Department of Agriculture, Kent Leonhardt, says he'd love to see the National Guard's project succeed, but he has questions about their approach.
Why did they choose juicing apples when juicing apples are the lowest value of an apple that there is out there? Why aren't we going after table apples and a processing plant where we can cut them up into the sizes that our youth need in our schools?
Using some of the apples for eating is still part of the National Guard's plan, but they're hoping that by bringing in a larger company, the project will have more long-term investment beyond the current grant cycle, which ends next year. Another question Commissioner Leonhardt has is, why is the National Guard investing in agriculture? Adjutant General Hoyer, the man in charge of the West Virginia National Guard, says their job is not only to deal with natural disasters, but also to help find ways to solve economic and environmental challenges.
We as a state have to start thinking a little bit differently.
And that includes looking beyond coal for ways to use the land that's been left behind by years of mining.
I think our role from a guard perspective is to take that property and turn it into something for West Virginia's future.
But is a mine site really a suitable place to grow an apple orchard?
And it all depends on the type of soil that you've got and its productivity potential.
This is Jeff Skousen, a professor of soil science at West Virginia University and an expert in reclamation of mine sites. He estimates there are about 500,000 to 600,000 acres of abandoned mine land sites in West Virginia. Some have been reclaimed or cleaned up. Others have not.
And I would guess that probably a fourth of that area might be suitable for farming.
Most of this abandoned mine land is still owned by mine companies or private landowners, but it could be developed into a post-mining industry, like growing apples, if the soil is free of contaminants and if there are enough nutrients to support farming. Skousen helped the National Guard select the site for their Nicholas County orchard, and he tested the soil.
These soils are not toxic. There's nothing wrong with them. They're just fairly coarse, and by that I mean they're rocky. And so that means that they don't hold as much water and hold as many nutrients.
He advised the guard to add more potting soil to the dirt to give more nutrients and to help break up the tough clay. He says he's hopeful the trees will continue to thrive and produce, but it will be a few more years till they'll know for sure if they were successful. But an earlier apple tree project the National Guard was involved in was not. I went to Clay County to have a look at the apple trees.
None of them are alive. There's a few sticks sticking out of the ground. The ground itself is really dry and arid. This is a former mine site, so it's pretty dry here.
This project was headed up by a nonprofit called the Central Appalachia Empowerment Zone, and the West Virginia National Guard helped plant all the trees in 2015. I asked General Hoyer about this earlier project.
The follow-up on those trees is not like the follow-up in the orchard that we have at Muddlety.
You don't think it's an indication of the poor soil quality?
No, I think it was a matter of they just didn't have the folks to care for the trees. So I think it's two completely different circumstances.
According to the State Department of Environmental Protection, the site where these apples were planted was mined by Greendale Coal, which had its permits revoked in the late 80s. The agency says reclamation was later done on the soil, but there is an issue with acid mine drainage. It's not exactly clear if any of these environmental issues had anything to do with why the apple trees died. The organization that headed up this project, the Central Appalachia Empowerment Zone's executive director, Connie Lupardis, didn't want to do a recorded interview about this project. She says she was told by the DEP that the site would be appropriate to grow apples, and they did grow initially. She says they only received a little more than $20,000 for this pilot project, and if she had to do it all over again, she would make sure she has workers in place to care for the trees once they're growing. I asked Jess Skousen, the soil scientist, if he knows anything about the first apple project and why he thinks the apple trees in Clay County died. He hasn't been to that site or tested the soil, but he says that, generally speaking, if the reclamation on a mine site wasn't completed, then it's probably not the ideal location to grow apple trees.
So we do have to be careful about sites like that.
For multiple reasons, Skousen says, the second orchard location in Muddlety is probably better suited for growing apples. That site was last mined in 1969, and though there is still some reclamation needed on the property, he's hopeful that the soil and water quality will be able to support an orchard. The challenges in the first pilot project in Clay County did help the National Guard realize they needed some help. So they consulted with some fruit researchers at the Appalachia Fruit Research Station in Kearneysville, West Virginia. They're working with the Guard to help find the apple varieties that grow the best on the Muddlety site. They're also helping them grow some other fruit on this location, says Chris Dardirk, one of the scientists.
In our stone fruits, we have a trait we call super sweet, and these are nectarines and peaches that have just tremendous flavor profiles.
And they're also working on finding a way to help the National Guard grow pears, peaches, nectarines, plums, and even a kiwi variety that was developed specifically for West Virginia. I admit that the enchantment of growing these exotic fruits on a former mine site does sound enticing. Still, I can't help but wonder, are these projects just the byproduct of the coal industry and people who support coal? Are they just trying to prove these lands aren't completely wasted? I posed the question to Jeff Skousen.
No, I understand. I think you're trying to say, you know, is it people like me that are trying to justify continuing to destroy the environment to get coal out? And then, yes, there is a post-mining land use that we can develop and that we can move on and that these have value.
He says that he looks at the positive side of all this, that just 40 years ago, mining companies were doing much more damage to the environment without much work being done to reclaim their mine sites. Convincing coal companies to do a better job has taken a lot of work and federal regulation. Back up at the Muddlety site, Sergeant Sears says another generation from now, apples and other fruit trees could be one of the things covering these hillsides. And he says he does think this project will be more successful than the Clay County project.
And as far as them doing better here than over there, I mean, it's just a matter of testing. I mean, to see, you don't know until you get them going, but they appear at this point, and you'll be able to see when you go up here, they're doing quite well here.
He says in about 4 years, we'll know for sure. That's when the 250,000 trees they're planting for this pilot project are expected to start producing apples. For Inside Appalachia, I'm Roxy Todd in Muddlety, West Virginia.
Listen to Inside Appalachia to hear more stories about projects meant to spur job growth in Appalachia. Search for Inside Appalachia on wvpublic.org or wherever you get your podcasts. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our producer is Glennis Board. I'm Teresa Wills.